I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindebaum, and we are brought to you by the Tittlekilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tittlekilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, comes to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tittlekilt Girls. For more information on Tittlekilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. Now, of course, last week I debuted Haley Williams as my new co-host. This week, she is not going to be on. She is spending time with her family. She deserves it. She had a long season. Just got back from Buffalo. She deserves some time with her family. She'll be back Monday or Tuesday when we do the wrap up for the regular season and preview the first round of the playoffs. So with that said, we're gonna hop right on into it. Caps versus Coyotes in Arizona on the 2nd of April. The lineup for the Washington Capitals is Alex Ovechkin, Marcus Johansson, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chmiel with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards, and Stanislav Gailev. Defense pairings with Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, and Philip Grubauer in net. And then in the first period, Alex Ovechkin would be called for slashing at 16-14. At the end of the first, it would be tied 0-0. Shots were 8-7 in favor of the Coyotes. Faceoffs were 8-7 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 8-5 in favor of the Caps. The Caps did not have a power play, and the Coyotes were 0-1. This was an up-and-down period for the Caps. They had good shifts that gave them momentum, but then other shifts gave away that momentum as well. The Caps need to play a better remaining 40 minutes. And then in the second period... Sorry about that. Nate Schmidt would be called for a five-minute major for fighting along with Max Domi at 3:32 in the second. Then at 18:37, Jordan Martinuk would be called for roughing. At the end of the second, it would still be tied 0-0. Shots were 21-16 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 17-14 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 19-15 in favor of the Caps. The Caps had their first power play in progress, and Arizona was 0-1. Another up-and-down period for the Caps. They aren't truly seizing on their scoring chances. They need to finish on these opportunities that they are getting. Then in the third period, it would be all Arizona, starting at 5:18 into the third when Shane Doan scored his 27th of the season from Max Domi. And then at 5:45, Oliver Ekman-Larsson scored his 21st from Alex Tanguay and Antoine Vermette. Then Kevin Kanonen would be called for tripping at 7:46. And then at 13:58, Brad Richardson scored his 10th of the season from Max Domi. Arizona would go on to win the game 3-0. Shots were 31-27 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 23-22 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 25-18 in favor of the Caps. The Caps were 0-2 on the power play, and Arizona was 0-1. For the most part, the Caps did not show up for this period, and it showed on the scoreboard. With four games left in the regular season, the Caps need to start ramping up their game going into the playoffs. And then, next up, we obviously, Haley's not here, so I'll be covering for her, for the Blackhawks. On the third, the Chicago Blackhawks took on the Boston Bruins. The lineup for the Blackhawks was Andrew Ladd with Jonathan Toews and Marian Hossa, Artemi Panarin with Artem Anisimov and Patrick Kane, Tomas Fleischmann with Tuvu Teravainen and Dale Weiss, Brandon Mashinter with Marcus Kruger and Andrew Desjardins. Defense, you had Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Nicholas Halmerson, Victor Svedberg with Brent Seabrook, Eric Gustafson, Michael Roosevelt, and Scott Darling in the net. In the first period, it started off with David Krejci being called for slashing at 11:37, and on that power play, Artem Anisimov scored his 20th of the season from Artemi Panarin and Brent Seabrook. Then at 17:46, both Zdeno Chara and Jonathan Toews were called for unsportsmanlike conduct. And then at 18:31, Patrick Kane scored his 41st of the season which was unassisted. At the end of the first period, Chicago was up 2-0 on Boston. Shots were 19-8 in favor of Chicago. Faceoffs were 11-9 in favor of Boston. Hits were 15-3 in favor of Boston. Boston did not have a power play, and Chicago was 1-1. Then, in the second period, at 54 seconds into the period, Patrick Kane scored his 42nd of the season from Artem Anisimov and Artemi Panarin. Then 2 minutes into the period, Jonathan Toews would score his 26th of the season from Marian Hossa and Andrew Ladd. Then at 5:17, Artemi Panarin would score his 28th from Patrick Kane and Artem Anisimov. Then at 5:25, Eric Gustafson would be called for delay of game. Then at 8:02, Seth Griffith of Boston would be called for delay of game as well. Then the Boston bench, served by Pasternak, would be called for too many men. And at on that power play, Chicago would score at 14:16. Patrick Kane, his third goal of the game and his 43rd of the season, from Artem Panarin and Brent Seabrook. And then at 19:44, Boston would score. David Pasternak, his 13th of the season, from David Krejci and Zdeno Chara. And then at 19:55, Patrice Bergeron would score his 31st of the season from Adam McQuaid and Brad Marchand. At the end of the second period, Chicago would be up 6-2. Shots were 31-29 in favor of Chicago. Face-offs were 25-18 in favor of Boston. Hits were 24-10 in favor of Boston. And on the power play, Boston was 0-1, where Chicago was 2-3. An interesting note about this period, Boston outshot Chicago 21-12. And then in the third period, at 2:39 into the period, Patrice Bergeron would score his second of the game, his 32nd of the season, from Louis Erickson and Torrey Krug. And then at 6:56... Tuvu Teravainen would be called for holding, and Frank Vetrano would be called for embellishment. And then at 9:51, Brad Marchand would score his 36th of the season from Torrey Krug and Patrice Bergeron. At the end of the game, the Chicago Blackhawks would win 6-4. Shots were 36-34 in favor of Boston. Faceoffs were 36-26 in favor of Boston. Hits were 31-17 in favor of Boston. And on the power play, Boston was 0-1, where Chicago was 2-3. And in that period, Chicago was outshot 17-3. And now going back to the Capitals on 4-5, the New York Islanders came to the Capitals. Caps lineup was first line Alex Ovechkin, Marcus Johansson, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Michael Latta, and the defense pairings were Carl Alzer with Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, and Braden Holtby in the net. In the first period at 4:29, Alex Ovechkin would score his 46th of the season from TJ Oshie and Marcus Johansson, their 23rd and 27th of the season, respectively. Then Scott Mayfield would be called for interference at 11:18, but also Michael Latta would get called for roughing at 11:18, and Michael Latta and Scott Mayfield would both get 5-minute majors for fighting at 11:18 as well. Then Tom Wilson would get called for cross-checking at the 19-minute mark of the first. At the end of the first period, the Caps were up 1-0. Shots were 10-8 in favor of the Islanders. Faceoffs were 7-6 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 9-8 in favor of the Islanders. And Islanders were in the progress of their first power play, and the Capitals did not have one. A good start to the game for the Caps. Getting on the board early was very good, and the Caps need to keep attacking the Islanders' net. Then going into the second period, Matt Niskanen was called for cross-checking at 7:14. Tom Wilson and Eric Bolton were both called for roughing, also at 7:14. At 13:43, John Tavares scored his 31st of the season for Thomas Hickey and Kyle Okposo. And then Josh Bailey was called for holding at 16:07. The Islanders and the Caps were tied at 1 at the end of the second. Shots were 19:18 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 20:14 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 22:15 in favor of the Islanders. And the Islanders were 0-2 and the Caps were 0-1 on the power play. This period felt like the Caps took their foot off the gas, and as a result, the Islanders were able to tie the game. The Caps need to go into the third period and just dominate. Also, the Caps need to stay out of the penalty box. And then 1:15 into the third period, TJ Oshie would score his 26th of the season from Marcus Johansson and John Carlson, their 28th assist of the season, both respectively. And then at 6:56, Alex Ovechkin scored his 47th of the season from TJ Oshie and Marcus Johansson, their 24th and 29th assists of the season, respectively. Then at 8:40, Kyle Okposo would score his 22nd from John Tavares and Franz Nielsen. And then at 10:25, Anders Lee would score his 15th from Nick Leddy and Ryan Strome, thus leading us to overtime, where at 2:13, Thomas Hickey would score his 6th of the season from John Tavares and Ryan Strome to win the game for the Islanders 4-3 in overtime. Shots were 32-27 in favor of the Caps, faceoffs were 25 apiece, hits were 32-22 in favor of the Islanders, and on the power play, the Islanders were 0-2 and the Caps were 0-1. A very disappointing game for the Caps, a game that they had won. They let it slip away with sloppy play. The Caps' coverage in their own zone was very poor, and as a result, they lost this game. And with that, when we come back, we will be doing the NWHL report. And ladies and gentlemen, the MCW Spring Fever 2016 tour is hot on the trail on Saturday, April 9th at the Galena Volunteer Fire Department in Galena, Maryland. Come see Sean Waltman, Bruiser, the Hellcats, and MCW Women's Champion Renee Michelle. For more information and to purchase tickets to the MCW Spring Fever tour, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see celebrity guests like Summer Glau, Adam West, John Barrowman, Kevin Smith, Riddle, and many more. For more information or to purchase tickets to AwesomeCon, visit awesome-con.com. And we start off with April 4th. Kelly Babstock has become the first player to sign a contract for the 2016-17 National Women's Hockey League season. Connecticut Whale General Manager Lisa Giovanelli announced Monday. Babstock and the Whale agreed to terms on a one-year $21,000 contract. Then on April 6th, the National Women's Hockey League announced the salary cap and roster sizes for the 2016-17 season. Each team will carry 17 rostered players, 15 skaters, and 2 goalies. Each team will also sign a total of 6 practice players, 5 skaters, and 1 goalie. The salary cap remains the same at $270,000. Therefore, the average player's salary will increase from $15,000 to $15,882. Now, practice players are paid based on the number of games in which they dress during the preseason, regular season, or playoffs. Being how each team will carry 15 skaters and 2 goalies, that comes down to 9 forwards and 6 defensemen, and obviously 2 goaltenders. So you're going to have 3 forward lines, 2 defensive pairings per team, and then with the practice players, you can essentially have your 4th line and your 3rd pairing for defense on the practice squad. That's at least what I take from it. Obviously, some other teams might do it differently, but that's the take that I take away from it. And then also on the 6th, Morgan Fritz Ward and Madison Parker are the first players to sign contracts with the New York Riveters for the 2016-17 NWHL season. General Manager Chad Weissman announced. Fritz Ward and Packer, whose leadership earned them assistant captain roles last year, each signed one-year contracts worth $15,000. So that's pretty much all that happened this past week in the NWHL. For more information on the NWHL, visit nwhl.co or follow on Twitter at NWHL. And with that, when we come back, we'll be breaking down 3 more games right after the break. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And remember, Haley is off today to spend time with her family, which was well-earned and deserved. So I'm going to be covering Blackhawks again for you this segment, starting with the Blackhawks game on April 5th against the Arizona Coyotes. The lineup for the Blackhawks with Andrew Ladd, Jonathan Toews, and Richard Panik. Artemi Panarin with Artem Anisimov and Patrick Kane. Brandon Machinter with Tuvu Teravainen and Dale Weiss. Andrew Desjardins with Marcus Kruger and Tomas Fleischmann. Defense pairings were Trevor Van Riemsdyk with Nicholas Halmerson, Victor Svedberg with Brent Seabrook, Eric Gustafson with Michael Roosevelt, and Scott Darling in the net. And in the first period for the Blackhawks at 5:16, Richard Panik scored his sixth of the season from Jonathan Toews and Nicholas Halmerson. Then at 10:25, Michael Roosevelt was called for hooking. And then at 12:13, Marcus Kruger was called for high sticking. However, while shorthanded, Jonathan Toews would score his 27th of the season unassisted. At the end of the first period, Chicago would be up 2-0 over the Coyotes. Shots were 7-6 in favor of the Coyotes. Faceoffs were 8-5 in favor of the Blackhawks. And hits were 7-5 in favor of the Coyotes. The Coyotes were 0-2 on the power play, where the Blackhawks did not have one. Then for the second period at 4:55, Connor Murphy was called for high sticking. On that power play, Patrick Kane would score his 44th of the season from Artemi Panarin and Brent Seabrook. Then at 10:38, Antoine Vermette would get a 5-minute major and a game misconduct for boarding. At 12:17, on that power play, Andrew Ladd would score his 24th of the season from Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Jonathan Toews. And then at 14:29, Andrew Ladd would strike on the very same power play, his 25th of the season, from Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin. And then at 15:42, Tuukka Teravainen would be called for holding. At the end of the second period, Chicago would be up 5-0. Shots are 23-13 in favor of the Blackhawks. Faceoffs are 17-13 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were 18-9 in favor of the Coyotes. The Coyotes were over 3 on the power play, and the Blackhawks were 3-4. Then at 1:21 into the third period, Jordan Martinook was called for tripping. Then at 3:57, Connor Murphy would score his 6th of the season from Yuri Sekash. Then at 4:55, Andrew Desjardins would score his 8th of the season from Marcus Kruger and Michael Roosevelt. Chicago would then have their bench called at 6:28 for too many men on the ice, which was served by Panarin. And then at 13:27, Brad Richardson scored his 11th of the season from Shane Doan and Max Domi. Then at 15:55, Tuukka Teravainen was called for tripping. Then at 17:05, Marcus Kruger was called for delay of game. And then at 18:34, Viktor Tikhonov was called for tripping. At the end of the game, the Blackhawks would win 6-2. Shots were 32-31 in favor of the Blackhawks. Faceoffs were 28-24 in favor of the Coyotes. Hits were 24-10 in favor of the Coyotes. The Coyotes were 0-6 on the power play, and the Blackhawks were 3-4-6. And then we go to March 7th. Apologies for the cough. I've been sick and blah, blah, blah. I tried holding it in last time when we were with when we had Haley on last week. So again, apologies. We're jumping right back into it. On April 7th, the Pittsburgh Penguins visited the Washington Capitals. The lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Danny Winnick with Brad Richards, and Jay Beagle. The defense pairs were Orpik and Carlson, Alexander Niskanen, and Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt. Braden Holtby was starting in net. And then in the first period, 44 seconds into the game, Matt Collins scored his 15th of the season from Tom Kuhn-Hackle. And then Ian Cole would be called for delay of game at 3:41, and Chris Letang would be called for slashing at 19:02. And at the end of the first, Pittsburgh would be up 1-0 over the Caps. Caps outshot the Pens 8-7. Pittsburgh won 10 faceoffs to the Caps 8, and the Penguins outhit the Caps 11-7. Pittsburgh did not have a power play, and the Caps were 0-1 with their second in progress at the end of the period. This was not a good period for the Caps. Bad coverage cost them the first goal of the game and really lost any momentum they're hoping to build. The Caps need to remain disciplined and capitalize on their chances. Then going into the second period, shorthanded, 28 seconds into the period, Matt Cullen would score his 16th of the season, which was unassisted. Then Tom Wilson would be called for boarding a 5-minute major at 2:27. At 9:03, Connor Sheary would score his 7th of the season from Oscar Sundquist and Tom Sestito. Then Ian Cole would be called for holding at 11:10. Justin Williams was called for tripping at 13:27. Trevor Daley would be called for holding at 13:52. At 17:19, Marcus Johansson would score his 16th of the season from John Carlson and Andrei Burakovsky, their 29th and 21st of the seasons, respectively. And then Chris Letang would be called for cross-checking 18 minutes, and Ovechkin would be subsequently called for embellishment at 18 minutes as well. And yeah, Ovi, he barely hit you that hard. You shouldn't have dropped like the way you did. but it is what it is. Pittsburgh would be leading 3-1 going into the second intermission. Shots were 19-16 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 20-19 in favor of Pittsburgh. Hits were 13-10 in favor of Pittsburgh. And the power play was 0-2 for Pittsburgh and 0-4 for the Caps. This was another rough period for the Caps as they gave up another goal in the first minute of the period. The Caps also have not been capitalizing on their power play opportunities. Going into the third period, the Caps need to get their legs moving and create more opportunities. And then going into the third period, Daniel Winnick was called for high-sticking 3:14, and then Matt Niskanen was called for cross-training at 5:49. But then at 10:05, Marcus Johansson would score his 17th of the season for Matt Niskanen and Evgeny Kuznetsov, their 27th and 56th assists of the season, respectively. And then 13:26, Andrei Burakovsky would tie the game with his 17th of the season from John Carlson and Justin Williams, both their 30th assist of the season. Then going into overtime, at the 4 minutes into the period, Sidney Crosby would score his 36th of the season from Chris Letang, thus giving the Pittsburgh Penguins a 4-3 victory in overtime over the Caps. Shots were 35-30 in favor of Pittsburgh, faceoffs were 33-28 in favor of Pittsburgh, hits were 26-19 in favor of the Caps, and both teams are 0-4 on the power play. A good third period comeback for the Caps, but another OT loss for them as they go into the final weekend of the NHL regular season. The Caps need to get their groove going if they expect a long and deep playoff run. And, you know, looking at this past week, Arizona should have beat them. Islanders should have beat them. Pittsburgh, that would have been the toss-up game. It's just, I know that they wanted to break the record for Holtby and stuff like that, but when it comes right down to it, let's be honest, and you're going to see it again tonight and tomorrow, the Caps don't have anything to play for right now here in the regular season. They have nothing to play for. And as a result of that, you're seeing mediocrity right now. And you really hope that when the playoffs start, they get their heads on straight and they play with purpose. And that's the key thing, purpose. So here hoping that, you know, and they are on a 3-game losing streak. They can go on all they want about the, oh, well, they haven't lost 2 games back-to-back in regulation. Yeah, that's nice, but they're still on a 3-game losing streak. So I'm trying to be hopeful for the playoffs, but right now I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. So with that, we're going into April 7th, where the Chicago Blackhawks took on the St. Louis Blues. The lineup for the Blackhawks were Andrew Ladd with Jonathan Toews and Richard Panik, Artemi Panarin with Tuvu Teravainen and Patrick Kane. I believe it's Eric Bickle with Andrew Desjardins and Dale Weiss. Brandon Machintra with Marcus Kruger with Thomas Fleischmann. Trevor Van Riemsdyk with Nicholas Helmerson. Victor Svedberg with Brent Seabrook. Eric Gustafsson with Michael Rosenvall and Scott Darling in net. In the first period at 17:55, Dmitry Jaskin was called for tripping. At the end of the first, St. Louis and Chicago were tied 0-0. Shots were 9-7 in favor of Chicago. Faceoffs were tied at 7-7. Hits were 11-13 in favor, or 13-11 in favor of Chicago. And on the power play, St. Louis did not have one, and Chicago was 0-1. Going into the second period, Chicago would get a penalty at 4:55. Richard Panik for hooking. Then 7:24, Victor Svedberg for hooking. Then at 12:13, Richard Panik would be called for embellishment, which also got Vladimir Tarasenko for hooking. At 12:40, Jonathan Toews would score his 28th for the season with Patrick Kane and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Then at 15:34, Ryan Reeves and Brandon Machintra both got 5-minute majors for fighting. Also at 15:34, Scotty Upshaw got a 10-minute misconduct. And 18:09, Patrick Berglund was called for hooking. At the end of the second, Chicago was up 1-0. Shots were 19-16 in favor of St. Louis. Faceoffs were 17-16 in favor of St. Louis. Hits were 18-17 in favor of Chicago. Power play was 0-2 for St. Louis and 0-1 for Chicago, with their second one in progress. Then in the third period, on a penalty shot 15:02, Andrew Ladd would miss. The penalty shot was awarded after J.B. Bouwmeester was called for hooking on Andrew Ladd. Then at 18:14, Vladimir Tarasenko tied the game with his 38th of the season from Kevin Shattenkirk and Alexander Steen. And at 3:37 into overtime, Vladimir Tarasenko scored his 39th of the season from Alex Petrangelo and Paul Stastny. St. Louis would go on to win the game 2-1 in overtime. Shots were 35-25 in favor of St. Louis. Faceoffs were 28-24 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were 26-25 in favor of the Blues. And both teams were 0-2 on the power play. And just a note, dating back to last week when Haley did the Blackhawk games and this week with me doing them, I just got to say, this is the only game where I've seen the Blackhawks in the 20s in hits. Out of all the games that we've covered so far, only game in the 20s in hits. So that makes me go, so they're not going to try to hit people against Boston. They're not going to try to hit people against Arizona, but they're going to hit people in St. Louis. So it's like, okay, I get the rivalry, but come on, guys. Especially when it comes to the playoffs, hitting is going to be a key thing going forward. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, it'll be time for NHL news and notes. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it is time for NHL news and notes. And we start off with April 2nd, Tampa Bay Lightning center Steven Stamkos will have surgery to remove a blood clot near his right collarbone and will be signed 1 to 3 months. Lightning general manager Steve Yzerman said the condition, a type of vascular thoracic outlet syndrome called effort thrombosis, is the same ailment Lightning goalie Andrei Vasilevsky had during the summer that caused him to miss the early part of the season. Matt Murray made 24 saves against the New York Islanders to earn his first NHL shutout, give the Pittsburgh Penguins an 11-1-0 record in their past 12 games, and help them clinch a berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the 10th consecutive season. Alexander Barkov factored on 4 unanswered goals, highlighted by his tie-breaking goal with 28.1 seconds remaining in the third period to help the Florida Panthers overcome a 3-0 deficit and defeat the Montreal Canadiens to maintain first place in the Atlantic Division. And the Columbus Blue Jackets scored 5 unanswered goals, powered by a natural hat trick by Brandon Saad to snap a 6-game road losing streak. On April 3rd, the idle Florida Panthers clinched a berth in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs by virtue of a Chicago Blackhawks victory, their 5th postseason appearance in franchise history and first since 2011-12. Then on April 4th, the NHL Stars of the Week, ending 4-3. Were announced. First star, Artemi Panarin, left wing of the Chicago Blackhawks. Panarin led the league with 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points, and 3 outings as the Blackhawks won 2 of 3 starts for the week to clinch a berth in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs. Second star was Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks. Burns finished second amongst all scorers and first among defensemen with 1 goal, 6 assists, 7 points in 4 games as the Sharks gained 6 of a possible 8 standing points. And the third star was Matt Murray, goalie of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Murray went 3-0 with a 1.95 goals against average, 0.929 save percentage, and 1 shutout as the Penguins recorded 4 victories for the week to extend their overall winning streak to 6 games and move in the second place in the Metro Division. Toronto Maple Leafs forward Nazem Kadri has been suspended for 4 games without pay for cross-checking Detroit Red Wings forward Luke Glendening in Toronto on April 2nd. The National Hockey League Department of Player Safety announced today, or on the 4th, Kadri is considered a repeat offender under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary will forfeit $200,000. The unlikely journey of forward John Scott this season will include at least 1 game with the oldest franchise in the NHL. The Montreal Canadiens recalled Scott from St. John's of the American Hockey League to face the Florida Panthers at Bell Center on Tuesday, April 5th, adding another chapter to what has been a roller coaster ride. Coach Michel Therrien said the Canadiens wanted to repay Scott for the professionalism he had demonstrated since he was acquired in a trade with the Arizona Coyotes on January 15th and immediately assigned to St. John's. Chris Kreider and Derek Stefan each had a goal and assist to help the New York Rangers clinch a berth in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs, their 6th consecutive postseason appearance and 10th in the past 11 seasons. Down 2-0, the St. Louis Blues scored 5 unanswered goals to rally past the Arizona Coyotes to pick up their 7th victory in their past 8 games. Then on April 5th, the New York Islanders clinched their 2nd straight berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs and 3rd in the past 4 seasons. By virtue of the Boston Bruins shootout loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, the Tampa Bay Lightning wrapped a 3rd straight playoff berth and 9th in franchise history. The Nashville Predators' regulation win against the Colorado Avalanche allowed the Minnesota Wild to clinch the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, their 4th straight appearance and 7th in club history. The Florida Panthers scored 3 unanswered goals, including the go-ahead goal by Nick Bjugstad with 12.2 seconds remaining in the second period to pick up their 4th consecutive victory and clinch the top spot in the Atlantic Division. The Penguins scored The Pittsburgh Penguins scored 5 unanswered goals, including 2 each by Sidney Crosby and Carl Hagelin, to overcome a 3-0 deficit for their 7th consecutive victory and 13th win in their past 14 games. And the New York Rangers scored 3 unanswered goals, including the tying and go-ahead goals in the opening 4:46 of the third period to rally past the Lightning for their 2nd straight win. And then on April 6th, New York Rangers captain Ryan McDonagh is out indefinitely with a hand injury he sustained on Monday. He missed New York's 3-2 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday and will not play in the final few games of the regular season either. In addition, it's possible the Rangers will be without defenseman Dan Girardi, who sustained an injury when he got hit into the end boards by Lightning forward Brian Boyle with 108 remaining in the third period. Girardi needed assistance leaving off the ice. Rangers coach Alan Vigneault said McDonagh's status for the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs is uncleared. The defenseman injured his right hand blocking a shot in the first period of a 4-2 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Montreal Canadiens announced Wednesday the 6th that Carey Price would not play the final two games of the regular season. This close, he sustained a sprained medial collateral ligament MCL in his right knee November 25th against the New York Rangers. The original diagnosis was that Price would miss a minimum of 6 weeks, a timeline that was stretched a number of times until the decision was made to shut him down after a meeting Tuesday with General Manager Marc Bergevin and the Canadiens medical staff. Also, the Montreal Canadiens announced defenseman P.K. Subban would miss the final two games of the season because of a neck injury sustained March 10th against the Buffalo Sabres when he collided with teammate Alexei Yemelin. Subban was taken off the ice on a stretcher and taken to a hospital, was released later that night with what the Canadiens called a non-serious neck injury. He will have missed the final 14 games of the season. Then Jimmy Howard denied all 30 shots he faced, including 24 over the final two periods, to help the Detroit Red Wings pass the Philadelphia Flyers in a game that featured two of the three teams vying for the final two playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. And then Connor McDavid scored what stood as the game-winning goal to lead the Edmonton Oilers past the Vancouver Canucks in the NHL game at Rexall Place, their home since 1974-75, when it was in the World Hockey Association. Edmonton's first win in the building also saw a teenager pick up 3 points on October 19, 1979. Wayne Gretzky, who had 3 assists, was one of the first three first-year NHL players to get at least 3 points in a 6-3 win against the Quebec Nordiques. After the game, more than 150 alumni, staff, and special guests helped Edmonton bid farewell to its storied arena, which has played host to 5 Stanley Cup-winning teams. And in case you missed it, fans sang along as a video of longtime Oilers anthem singer Paul Larriot played O Canada one last time at Rexall Place. And then on April 7th, Tampa Bay Lightning right wing Jonathan Trouin is hoping a fresh start will lead to an inspiring finish when he plays in his first NHL game in 4 months against the New Jersey Devils at Prudential Center. It has been a tumultuous few months for Drew, and he received stick taps and plenty of well wishes from Lightning teammates when he took the ice for the morning skate Thursday and will play on a line with center Vladislav Namestnikov and left wing Alex Killorn. Torrey Krug matched a career high with 3 points, including a game-winning goal, to lift the Bruins back into a playoff position and prevent the rival Detroit Red Wings from clinching a playoff berth. Jonathan Quick established a franchise record with his 40th victory of the season, second in the league behind Braden Holtby, who was 47, and the Los Angeles Kings scored 93 seconds apart in the second period to defeat the Anaheim Ducks. Though the Central Division and Pacific Division titles have yet to be claimed, the 4 Western Conference teams with home ice in the first round have been confirmed: the Dallas Stars, St. Louis Blues, Los Angeles Kings, and Anaheim Ducks. The Chicago Blackhawks and San Jose Sharks secured the number 3 seed in their respective divisions after yielding late goals and losses. The Pittsburgh Penguins and the Tampa Bay Lightning won to clinch the number 2 seeds in the Metropolitan Division and Atlantic Divisions, respectively. Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay locked in home ice for the opening round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs, joining Eastern Conference Division leaders Washington and Florida. Playing in his first NHL game since December 30th, Jonathan Drouin scored the game-winning goal to lift the Tampa Bay Lightning to their second win against the Devils in the past 5 days. And Montreal Canadiens goalie Charlie Lindgren turned aside 26 shots to earn a victory in his National Hockey League debut. And then on April 8th, New York Islanders forward Anders Lee sustained a fractured leg and is out indefinitely. According to a report from Newsday, Lee was hit by a shot from teammate Johnny Boychuk in the first period of a 4-1 win against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Lee is the latest Islanders player to sustain an injury. For his Cal Clutterbuck, who has a lower body injury, and Matt Martin, who has an upper body injury, was a late scratch, missed the game on Thursday. Top defenseman Travis Hamonic has a lower body injury and has been out for the past week. Number one goalie Yaroslav Halak, also lower body, is out at least two more weeks. And center Mikhail Grabowski, upper body injury, has been out for 3 weeks. So the Islanders are a very banged up team going into the playoffs. And looking at the road ahead, this weekend's the last weekend of the NHL regular season. Then we kick off the playoffs on April 13th. Today, April 9th, the Chicago Blackhawks visit the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 p.m., and then the Capitals visit the St. Louis Blues at 8 p.m., and then tomorrow, the last day of the NHL regular season, April 10th, the Anaheim Ducks visit the Washington Capitals at 7:30 p.m. And on behalf of myself and Haley, who again is with her family today, a much-deserved break for her, a day with her family, the Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by the Tilkilt Frederick, Maryland. The Tilkilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilkilt Girls. For more on Tilkilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And with that, thanks for listening. Until next time, which will be Monday or Tuesday of next week, we'll see you on the ice.